Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome one and all to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, it's been a tough week for good martinis. We've had to search high and low, and the one we've settled on today might not at first blush be considered a great martini, but when compared with what happened previously, I think it's a step in, certainly in the right direction. And that's the story of what appeared to be a plot to be the next Fort Hood shooter. This member of the armed forces who was disgruntled, was a conscientious objector, said the military didn't welcome him as a Muslim, and instead of trying to get out, he decided he wanted to shoot up Fort Hood, just like Nidal Hassan did a couple of years ago. Obviously, the process probably still isn't perfect to screen these folks out, but ultimately, it didn't happen, and so something's better than it was a couple years ago.
Greg, as you said, this is a rebuilding week for the good martini, and the fact that a massacre did not occur is, you know, in the end, perhaps one of the more important ones. Last night when I was on NRANews.com, my friend Cam Edwards got to interview the gun shop owner who just kind of giving his story, and it was exactly what you want to hear about a guy who something about the buyer just wasn't right. Just the questions he was asking and the types of stuff, his entire demeanor was disturbing. This is the same gun shop where Major Hassan bought his gun, so perhaps they're a little extra on the ball for these sorts of things. But, you know, called up the cops, and the gun shop owner is quick to emphasize that he doesn't think he did anything heroic, but, you know, sometimes very small acts end up having very heroic consequences. So I'll very happily raise a martini glass to that gentleman.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. So there is some good news here to observe at week's end. However, there is some bad news and plenty of it, actually. We had several to choose from today, and the one we're going to go with is economically related, not directly to the debt ceiling, although it can certainly be tied in, and that is the health of our overall economy. The GDP numbers, economic growth numbers, for lack of a better word, for the second quarter and revisions for the first quarter have come out 1.3% growth for the second quarter and revised downward in the first quarter to 0.4, basically meaning we are stalled. And for these rosy projections from the administration on how we are going to get out of this with robust economic growth in the wake of the stimulus and everything else, when you look at the stagnation of job growth and so many other factors, this is not a surprise, but it just shows that the reality is much more severe than what we're led to believe.
The shorter version you could have summarized it all with, Greg, is it's bad. It's bad, bad, bad. Are we technically in a recession? No. But the rate of growth is so small that I think to most Americans it doesn't feel like it's growth at all. And, you know, I've said for a while this feels like year three or year four of the recession, basically since fall of 2008. Now, the only thing I will note is that there is a factor to this in the debt ceiling negotiations. A lot of people are going to say this is going to, you know, spur people to a deal. Whatever happens, all economic consequences from here on out, Obama is going to try to pin on the Republicans and say, well, if they passed my plan, we would have raised taxes and the economy would be healthier, blah, 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 blah. The more significant thing to me is that this is an evidence that says, you know, look, the economy was stagnant before the debt ceiling issue came front and center. It's basically been stagnating, I think you could argue, for several quarters. Last quarter was not great. The preceding quarter was really pathetic. And so as a result of the idea that somehow the debt, you know, everything was going fine until the debt ceiling debate came along, is not going to hold water. Now, whether the, you know, PolitiFacts and groups like that call attention to that is another story, but there's very little evidence to suggest that what we're seeing right now is different from what we've seen before. In other words, this is not hurting a growing economy. This is a stagnant economy that may or may not get worse.
Yeah, that's not exactly glowing, to say the least. And Jim, if it weren't bad enough, we've got a stagnant economy. We've got a political class here in Washington that clearly can't agree on what the best road is forward economically or with the debt ceiling. And now the White House is telling us the Republican Party wants to spoil Christmas because they want a short-term extension of the debt ceiling to create time to find agreement on much more severe cuts moving forward. So therefore, that means the next round of the debt ceiling debate would kick off sometime in December. That would crimp holiday shopping because people would be in so much unease economically. So the Republicans trying to destroy Christmas here. A couple of things. First of all, if we hit a six-month extension now, that means the next one would come at the end of January. And if we learned anything over the last month, nothing remotely close to an agreement is going to come anywhere around Christmas time. So folks can probably breathe easily. Secondly, the person saying this is White House Communications Director Dan Pfeiffer, who I hadn't heard of until about 2 weeks ago, and now he seems to be lobbing rhetorical bombs about every 30 seconds, either over the airwaves or online. It's just interesting how he's kind of become the fire bomber right now over the White House.
Well, you know, every else in the administration, Jay Carney is so respectful, direct in his answers, that really they needed somebody to do something like that. As much as I was tempted to break into a chorus of, "You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch," I think you're right. And I think what's clear we can take from this is that Pfeiffer has his facts wrong and the negotiations will just ruin the Super Bowl at the end of January. Or, you know, maybe they could get a deal done before then. You know, it's like it's not like we get through this with some sort of extension, say for 6 months, and then you're not allowed to work on it for the next couple months. I mean, you know, it's only the the president who keeps saying, "Well, you should be like your daughters and procrastinate." Of course, you know, as I pointed out, Greg, they do write everything down on paper and show their work. So maybe we can emulate that aspect of their work, Mr. President. So. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you know the Republicans are out to destroy Christmas is their rhetoric, I can only imagine what it will be like by the time we get to 2012.
I'm surprised they didn't go with the whole gamut of Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and everything else, given this crowd at the White House. But so buy your Christmas presents now, folks, because there may not be Christmas if the Republicans get their way. That's the message that we're getting from the White House. Jim, have a fabulous weekend.
Looking forward to it, Greg. Desperately needed.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.